Crusade Channel News, news you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Wednesday, June 21st, 2017. The United States and China collaborate over North Korea, and in today's Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, the spiritual son of St. Robert Bellarmine. A prominent Monsignor has a warning for Pope Francis, and Queen Elizabeth II of England lays out the Prime Minister's agenda at the opening of Parliament. The United States and China are meeting today in Washington to discuss the North Korean problem and try to come up with ways to convince North Korea to abandon its nuclear and missile programs. President Trump conceded goodwill to China last night in a tweet, saying, quote, "While I greatly appreciate the efforts of President Xi and China to help with North Korea, it has not worked out. At least I know China tried." Reuters Greater China Bureau Chief Tony Monroe explains why the pressure on President Trump to deal with North Korea has recently increased and what the United States is looking for in its negotiations with China.
The death of U.S. college student Otto Warmbier just days after he returned from North Korea in a coma did really stun many Americans and may add to the pressure that President Trump feels to get results from the U.S. meeting with China. Washington wants Beijing to cooperate on tougher international sanctions against North Korea, such as cutting off or cutting down supplies of oil to North Korea, which come mostly from China, banning North Korea's state airline from flying internationally, and cutting off North Korea's supply of guest workers to countries including China.
Coming up after the break in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor Saint Aloysius. You're listening to Crusade News.
Life empowers women. You are invited to the National Pro-Life Women's Conference, which will be held at the Orlando World Center Marriott Resort from June 23rd to 25th. With keynote speakers Abby Johnson, Melissa Oden, and Lacey Buchanan, breakout sessions on a variety of topics and panel discussions, this is a fun, informative, and empowering event that you won't want to miss. Find out more at prolifewomen.com. That's prolifewomen.com.
Born in 1568, St. Aloysius was a spiritually precocious child. As the firstborn son, he stood to inherit his father's high status and title. But due to his experience in the Spanish royal court, he rejected that life and studied the lives of the saints to console himself. At 11, he catechized children, fasted, and lived an ascetic life. For 4 years, his father unsuccessfully fought his vocation. He entered the Society of Jesus and endured the mortification of having his spiritually zealous practices tempered. St. Robert Bellarmine was his spiritual advisor. St. Aloysius later cared selflessly for plague victims in Rome and himself caught the plague. He recovered slightly, but as had been revealed to him, he died during the Octave of Corpus Christi in 1591. St. Aloysius, pray for us. The National Catholic Register recently interviewed Monsignor Nicola Bux, a theologian and former consultant to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Monsignor Bux holds that the Church is in a, quote, full crisis of faith due to an, quote, abandonment of Catholic thought, which is causing deep divisions in the Church. He stated that the only way to remedy this crisis of faith is for the Holy Father to make a declaration of faith, affirming authentic Catholic teaching and rectifying those, quote, ambiguous and erroneous messages and actions which have caused widespread misinterpretation of Catholic doctrine. Referencing the Pope's continued refusal to acknowledge the four dubia cardinals, Monsignor Bux said, quote, "For many Catholics, it is incredible that the Pope is asking bishops to dialogue with those who think differently, but does not want first to face the cardinals who are his chief advisors." Bux warned, quote, "If the Pope does not safeguard doctrine, he cannot impose discipline." Queen Elizabeth opened Parliament today, delivering a speech in which she laid out Prime Minister Theresa May's agenda. She gave as her top priorities Britain's pullout from the European Union and the strengthening of the bonds between England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. She also addressed counterterrorism efforts in the United Kingdom. Courtesy of Reuters, here are excerpts from her speech.
My government's priority is to secure the best possible deal as the country leaves the European Union. The priority will be to build a more united country, strengthening the social, economic, and cultural bonds between England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. In the light of the terrorist attacks in Manchester and London, my government's counter-terrorism strategy will be reviewed to ensure that the police and security services have all the powers they need, and that the length of custodial sentences for terrorism-related offences are sufficient to keep the population safe.
The Queen's husband, 96-year-old Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, was not present at the opening of Parliament, having been hospitalized last night at King Edward VII Hospital in London for an infection. Reuters reports that the palace says Prince Philip, who recently retired from active public life, is in good spirits, but disappointed to miss the opening of Parliament and Royal Ascot. And lastly, in Celestial Musings, it was reported last week by Religion News Service that after Pope Francis assembled a panel to research and consider the question of female deacons, three American liberal Catholic groups, Future Church, Voice of the Faithful, and the Association of U.S. Catholic Priests, I'll let you look them up, came together to form Deacon Chat, an initiative designed to encourage the laity to educate themselves on women deacons, explore their own diaconate vocations, and talk to their parish clergy about their desire for deaconesses. Deacon Chat, which can be found at CatholicWomenDeacons.org, eggs on the movement by offering guidelines for vocational discernment and calling for stories of women who feel the call to the diaconate. Calling this campaign the 100 Women Deacons Campaign, they declare, as the 12 experts who composed the Commission for the Study of the Diaconate of Women help Pope Francis determine whether the Church should restore women deacons, Future Church has launched the 100 Women Deacons Campaign, asking Catholic women who have considered a call to the diaconate to share that discernment with the wider Church. View the stories of women who have considered a call to the diaconate and share your own story below. Click on any woman's picture to learn more. So I did. Here's what I found. Catherine Pierce from Michigan says, I have always longed to serve the church. I remember in second grade raising my hand to tell my teacher, Sister Clarence, that I feel called to be a priest. I recall her looking sternly at me, but even after initially receiving such a negative reaction, my desire has never left me. But wait, I thought this was about the diaconate. She continues, I've recently received a master's in theology at Notre Dame, sharing classes with MDiv candidates. I enjoyed their friendly banter and easy conversations, but I secretly was envious that as men, they could seek ordination. Envy. Has the devil's cry now changed from, I will not serve, to, I will serve? And Diana Prince from British Columbia said, for many years, I have considered being a deacon. Over these years, I have obtained and received many diplomas and degrees relevant to this, and have prayed many times, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Of course, in praying this, I know full well that the call is from God and that I have answered yes to it, but because of the system have not been able to do it, as the Holy Spirit has basically been ignored in this aspect of the church, at least until this day, perhaps. Excuse me? Who made Ms. Prince the supreme authority on the movement of the Holy Spirit within the church? I believe the Holy Spirit was promised to the Holy Father and teaching authority of the church, not to self-appointed authorities like Ms. Prince, who claim the desire to promise obedience to a bishop of a church, which she claims is ignoring the Holy Spirit. Why? The radio show Catholic Answers Live addressed the issue of deaconesses, and what Patrick Madrid has to say is well worth listening to.
In the early church, there were deaconesses, and they were women who function in roles not unlike those of religious sisters today, especially when it came to the administration of the sacrament of baptism, women who would be largely disrobed for baptism. This is typical for men and women. And as you can imagine, it would present some problems for the men, the priests or the deacons, to baptize scantily clad women. So this was one of the protections against unchastity. And so the deaconesses, they functioned in this role of service and they assisted with that. But as Tim correctly pointed out, as Pope Francis correctly pointed out, although he didn't say it emphatically, but he's correct, that they were never ordained, they were never admitted to the sacrament of holy orders. Now, there was a ceremony in which they were inducted into the group of deaconesses, and they were called deaconesses, but in the early church, even then it was very clear that they were not admitted to holy orders. Yeah. There is a book published by Ignatius Press, I'd encourage you to read it. It's called Deaconesses in the Early Church. I forget the name of the author, but it's easy to find. Yeah. And that will give you the biblical and historical documentation down to the penny on what the early church practiced on this point, and also what the councils had to say with regard to the women who functioned this way. So you can rest assured that just as Pope John Paul II, of blessed memory, said in Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, his document on the reservation of holy orders to men alone, since the diaconate as such is the entry level of holy orders, so to speak, that's not something that you will ever see the Catholic Church changing to include women. But if the church, in her wisdom, were to decide to, for lack of a better word, say reactivate or reconstitute or you know, whatever the term is, a group of women who would be called deaconesses and would function in a way similar to those in the early church, that's certainly a possibility.
Sure.
I think it might be somewhat redundant given the fact that we already have religious sisters and they didn't have those in the olden days of the church. But nonetheless, that shouldn't cause a problem for you as long as you know the theology behind it and that they would not be being admitted to holy orders.
I think it's beautiful that so many women have a heart to serve the church. And instead of wasting their time wringing their hands about why they aren't being ordained, these women should get busy really serving the body of Christ through their parish or through a secular institute, of which there are so very many. The spiritual state of the church is too dire to waste time pretending that women can be ordained. This is your listener-owned newscast. Send me your news tips at news@veritasradionetwork.com. Stay tuned now for the True Money Show. Celeste Jungblood signing off for the Crusade Channel. Serving you. Serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News. Live on your news, talk, and saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on CrusadeChannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.